This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torva. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that you arrived when you did, Kate, because my house was literally being held hostage by a giant white-tipped spider.
Oh, I walked in and Sophie's like, oh my God, I need your help, quick. And I was like, what's wrong? And there's this little spider, well, it was actually quite big, under a wine glass, where firstly, I don't even know why you have wine glasses because you and Brandon don't drink.
That's exactly why I was using that glass though, because I know that I don't use it, so I'm not going to feel grossed out that it was, you know, resting the spider underneath it.
Well, it made the job very tricky because I put an old birthday card under it and like took it outside because Sophie was telling me I had to kill it, and I was kind of trying to rev myself up to do it because she didn't want to do it, but I just couldn't.
To be fair, we're both vegetarian here. I save ants from going down the drain. I never ever kill insects. But Brandon, I messaged him telling him there was this spider, and he's like, you've got to kill it because they actually can hurt people and pets.
Yeah, so anyway, I didn't have the heart to kill it, so I took it out onto the road and like down the street and just flicked it off. So hopefully it doesn't hurt anyone.
Should we let nature hopefully take its course?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a bird will come past and eat it.
It's funny because I've actually got fake tan on at the moment because I'm going to be on the Today Show today.
Yeah. Well, what time? Give yourself a humble brag and a plug.
I believe it's 8:40 or 8:30, and I'm going to be speaking about, or maybe I shouldn't say, tell you on surprise. Monday. You have to tune in to see what it's about. It's not about the podcast,
no,
unfortunately. But I mentioned that because when this whole spider incident was taking place, I started to sweat. And you know when it's just running, like, disgusting.
Well, I'm also sitting here in fake tan, and I haven't fake tan for probably like over a month now, and we just stink. So it's lucky that this is an audio platform, not a scent platform at the moment.
Well, it's really lucky Amy's not here because she can't stand the stench of these tans. So she's actually doing some work still for us at Hula Media. She's out shooting something. So that's why she's not recording.
Yeah. So
she's not sick again.
No. Yeah. It's just Sophie and I. And we thought we would get into a social dilemma that actually was quite close to our hearts. And this was sent in by a listener. And she wrote, I'm 23 turning 24 this year and going on my first ever date next weekend. And I'm actually pooping my pants. And in the bracket, she wrote, I know you love talking about poo. And I just wanted to know any advice you have on navigating a first date and trying not to be super nervous, especially when most people would consider 24 late to the game.
This made me sad because I've got to put it out there. I think my first date was when I was 23 as well.
Yeah, I was reflecting and yeah, I had my first date at 23. And to be honest, I felt the same. I felt a bit embarrassed as if it was, you know, so old. And the older I've gotten, I've realized actually people just pretend that they're out and about dating. I really don't think it's like Sex in the City and people are on dates all the time. I mean, maybe now with Tinder, people are, you know, meeting up with more people, but I don't know.
I don't think so, because then again, I feel like Tinder, I mean, I could be wrong. I have been out of the dating game for a while, but I almost feel like if you're in your early 20s, you almost don't want to resort to Tinder. You kind of, if you're in your late 20s, then that's when you really want to meet someone. So you will jump on the apps. I feel like most people who have gone out on all these dates are people who have met people in high school.
But then they're not dating. They're only
They go to their little trips to the shops or coffee or whatever.
Oh, so you mean with one person?
Yeah.
Oh, no. When I was saying people are out there dating, like, you know, you've got a new date every weekend. I think that's more prevalent perhaps on Tinder if you're looking for a hookup. But I think it's really hard when you are around 23 or 24 as a female and you're looking for a boyfriend. Because I think there's a lot more pressure on actually going on dates. And I think this beautiful listener is getting nervous because there's a lot of anticipation leading into that date because you're really hoping that you might meet someone nice.
I think it's hard too, because if it is your first time on a date as well, you're obviously talking about it with your group of friends who are probably also aware you haven't gone on many dates.
Yeah.
And it's kind of being built up in the group as something bigger. And even if you go and don't like the person, you feel this pressure that you've got to be asked on a second date.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that, because I asked a little bit more about how this listener met the guy that she's going on a date. And she said it was through Tinder and her friends were kind of involved. It was a bit of a joke and they matched and kind of he actually seemed normal. However, she said her friends are going along and they're going to a bar and they're going to sit in the corner and just make sure, you know, he's not a psycho or something. And I was like, I think that's so great that the friends are making sure she's safe, but I almost feel like it might put her off.
That is a hard one. I feel like I'd be put off with people almost watching.
Yeah.
That being said, you do really have to consider safety when you are going and meeting up with people from online. I remember I've only been on one Tinder date in my lifetime and it was pretty awkward because this guy had just built a new house and he kept being like, oh, you should come and see my house. Come and see my house, which everyone knows what that's really code for. So I was like, no, let's go out to ice cream. But he met at my house because the ice cream shop was down the road. Anyway, I remember being in this absolute fluster because I was like, it's so nerve-wracking meeting this stranger. And I was in so much of a fluster that I actually left my keys in the front door.
Oh, I remember that.
When he opened the door, he just was standing there with my keys, which if it was anyone else, you'd think, who is this psychotic person with my keys? They could have stolen everything.
Yeah, it's a bit scary. You do put a lot of trust in who you meet up with online. It did actually also remind me talking about how her friends are rocking up on the date, because Amy, Sophie and I have done this awful thing where we've actually stalked each other's dates. Now, I would not suggest anyone doing this because it does really put you off. I think we've gone through the whole story, Sophie, how Amy and I stalked with our cousins and friend her first date with Brandon.
That's right.
It was then... I think we then did it to Amy.
No, Amy, we did on not Rundle do Street. It. Oh, we did actually. Yeah. We drove past and I believe we yelled out the window. Now, this was about 5 years ago. I mean, we were still too old to be doing
we
that.
We took a photo as well. And then you guys did it to me.
It was retribution for you.
Yeah. So it's sort of all, we've all experienced it. And while I think we all didn't know that each other was there, the fact that you knew they were there after was really unsettling.
Yeah. I mean, with Kate, I remember because... It's back in the day when Snapchat was a bigger thing and Snapchat maps, so we could see where one another was.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting outside because you didn't tell us where you were going because you were scared that we'd rock up. So we had a sus on Snapchat maps and we also did a bit of a stakeout. So we were waiting. And that's the worst thing when you were venturing outside of a restaurant or wherever, because that's, I suppose, when the awkwardness begins of whether there's going to be a kiss or not.
I know, because when you're, as you said, out in public, you're like, at the back of my mind, I was thinking, if Amy and Sophie see some first kiss moment, this is going to be so awkward.
I mean, they're awkward enough as it is.
Oh, I know. Anyway, I feel like we should actually get into some tips for this lovely listener because it is really nerve-wracking. And I remember going on my first couple of dates with this who ended up being my ex-boyfriend.
Who's a dickhead.
Yeah. So anyway, I remember being so nervous to eat. Like we literally would go to the same pasta place and I really could not eat like the full bowl of pasta. So I would really suggest if you are going out for a meal, I know I said that I think she's going out for drinks, but just say you end up going out for a meal as well, or for anyone that has a first date planned, I would suggest having a think about what you order, because it can be really awkward to eat something like a burger.
Or I reckon spaghetti or any sort of like stringy pasta.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I think maybe a coffee date's kind of a good date idea. I reckon that was my first date and it's a little less awkward also with paying.
Yeah. I think try and think about what you're going to eat or drink so it's not something that makes you feel uncomfortable. What about, you know, that feeling when you've eaten and then you're scared you've got something in your teeth?
God.
Like I always check my phone to make sure I don't.
I remember going somewhere and having an acai bowl and being so paranoid because you get the blueberry stuck in your teeth. So that is a good thing. Be mindful of what you're ordering.
Yeah.
One of the other things that would always stump me was what to wear because you don't want to look like you put in too much effort. But then you don't want to look underdressed.
That's the annoying thing because boys can literally rock up in a nice shirt and jeans and be ready for anything. Like, you know, you could be going out to a nightclub or you could be going to a restaurant. Whereas as a girl, there's so many options to choose from. Personally, we've grown up with as people that dresses are a really like formal thing. Yeah. I know that sounds silly to some people, but I've always usually wear pants. So I feel like if I was to wear a dress or a skirt, I'd feel uncomfortable.
Actually, I remember wearing a dress on my first date with Brandon, but that was because he told me he had three tiers of dates.
Oh.
So one was your like subpar coffee date, I suppose. The second was going out for perhaps dessert or dinner. And the next was this luxury date. So he'd planned this whole scavenger hunt thing for me.
Oh, so that was a luxury date. That's so why I wore a dress.
So that's why I wore a dress. But I digress, because I'm getting these hideous flashbacks. I'm also thinking about, I mean, I guess if this girl is 23, she's perhaps living at home as well. That's another awkward thing. Yeah. Someone picking you up from the house.
Also, I don't like coming down and you've put your special outfit on. Oh, sorry, one more thing on the clothes. I remember going on a first date with someone and I wore a shirt, and because I was really nervous, I sweated, and the sweat marks I felt were kind of obvious. So perhaps think about that. No grey t-shirts, I don't think, or anything. That's my nightmare. Something that you've worn before that you know is comfortable, that's not going to have sweat marks.
Yeah, that's very true. But going back to the house situation, I mean, I just opt to try and either meet the person there.
Yeah, yeah.
So you avoid any awkwardness with parents.
Either way, like, it's really bad if you're early and you're sitting there thinking, is this person going to stand me up? Or if you're late and you're having to rush and then you're like really flustered and you can't catch your breath. So I think make sure you're on time. But even if you want to wait in your car and then kind of stroll in.
Even catching your breath.
Yeah.
Like, I'd find sometimes if I was nervous, I'd be out of breath. And
yeah,
I think one we also spoke about, Kate, was coming up with like a mental list of topics to already, you know, talk about. I mean, obviously you can't predict what the conversation is going to be, but if you could have a few key things in your mind. And something else, always remember to ask someone a question back.
And also, I think it's good to have an exit strategy. So say, unfortunately, the date doesn't go well and you need to get out of there, like get one of your friends to call you, like have a code word with your friends, like maybe text them a special word. What's that on Seinfeld? Lemon tree.
I also think that you need to remember that you don't owe this person anything as well. Like, even though you've gone on a date with them or you've been chatting with them, if you turn up and don't like them, you don't owe them anything.
Yeah. Do you know what? Also, I find that splitting the bill or paying the bill is really awkward. So I would suggest potentially bringing some cash, because I like to actually offer to pay, like to go halves. Some people think that the guy should pay. I mean, it is nice on a first date when a guy pays, but I think be organized, have some cash, because otherwise when you're splitting it on cards, it gets very messy.
It's also a good way if you don't like the person on the date. It kind of, if you say, no, if you insist on paying, they might get the vibe that you're not into it.
What about if the date goes well? Do you think this listener should follow up with a text? Like, you know, when you've, because it's really good when you've left a good date and you get a cute message that says like, oh, I had a great time, love to see you again. Should she do that or should she wait for the guy to do it? Because I sometimes think it's nice when that someone goes, oh, message me when you get home, because then you don't feel like you're being too forward by messaging them. And then because you could be like, oh, I just got home, it was great to see you, and then see what they say.
Yeah, to be honest, if it was me, I personally wouldn't be following up, initiating the one saying, oh, let's go on a second date. I might send a message and say, thanks so much for tonight, it was great.
Yeah,
and then see if they say it.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. If you want to send the first message, yeah, don't be as forward to say you'd love to do it again. See if they say something back. I hope that's helped somewhat. I did tell Reese that we would be answering this question and he pissed himself laughing and said that he was going to listen and it was the first time he'd listen, because he's like, what sort of dating advice are you going to have? So hopefully it was okay.
Well, I think we come from a different viewpoint, because, you know, I think it's pretty normal to go on a first date at the age of 23. Like Brandon, he started dating his first girlfriend at high school. That's not the situation for everyone.
Yeah, I think it's hard because there is a lot of pressure, as we were talking about earlier, to find someone really early on. And if you haven't gone on, like if you hadn't had a high school boyfriend or girlfriend, or if you haven't met someone at uni, then it can be really difficult to meet people. Sophie, Amy and I, we didn't drink until we were like 23. And then when we did, it was very like moderate, and now we don't drink really anymore. Amy and I on very, very special occasions, like our best friend's hen's party, which was now 3 years ago. But yeah, I think don't beat yourself up if you're in the same boat where you haven't been on a date in your early 20s or even late 20s.
I also think, just don't put pressure on yourself, or don't put pressure on the situation. everything happens for people at different times. Mm. I think that's the worst thing that you can do, is put pressure on yourself and then get involved with someone you're not actually interested in.
We've really gone about in circles here, but I hope this listener's date goes really well. We would love for you to write in and share how it went.
Yeah, but no pressure if it didn't go well. Yeah. Good on you for going on the date, you know what I mean? It's always hard putting yourself out there.
Exactly.
Lemon Tree.
Peter, Paul and Mary.
Oh, Trini Lopez.
Lemon tree, very pretty, and a lemon flower is sweet. Right, okay.
So on Abby Chatfield's Instagram story yesterday, she shared a post from Pedestrian about how we've evolved beyond the need for a flat sheet. And I could not agree more. For years now, I have slept just with, you know, you've got your bottom sheet and just the quilt. And I think it is so much more comfortable. Really? You don't get all like wrapped up in the sheet and it's like, you know, you're tugging on different ends, like your partner's got one side. I just think it's the way to go. And I find it now weird and uncomfortable to think that I ever slept with the flat sheet.
See, I feel like I've evolved. I used to never sleep with the flat sheet. But now, because we have an incredibly itchy duna cover, we have now resorted to having the flat sheet.
Well, see, the flat sheet has a purpose for you because it's protecting your skin against the itchy cover. However, I have a Sheridan blanket and I could not speak more highly of Sheridan. The quilts, not so much the sheets because the sheets are ripped for me, but this blanket I've had, I think, for 10 years and it is so soft.
But can I just say, there is a reason for the flat sheet, particularly in summer. You don't want your doona on you when it's boiling hot.
Look, that's only one time I think a flat sheet can be necessary, especially if you're a person that doesn't like sleeping with no blankets, which I do. I have to have some sort of covering on me.
Oh, Kate and I are so weird. So for some reason, we both sleep with the covers over our head. Like, I have to have the cover over my head. So that's why I find it helpful to have the flat sheet, because instead of taking the whole blanket, I can just dissect the sheet from there and use the sheet over my head.
Yes, but I feel like that works when you're sleeping by yourself. But I feel like since having a partner, I don't want to be sharing a flat sheet with someone.
See, I think there's nothing better than when you've got fresh sheets and you slip into bed with the top one on and it's exquisite.
I don't think you can have them tucked in though. That makes you feel very claustrophobic.
Not tucked in.
Like, you know when you're in a hotel and it's just, remember Dad used to tuck our sheets in
Can I just say, can anyone else let me know? So my partner, Brandon, he sleeps with his knee up in the air. So
that is weird.
I don't know why. I think it must be to do with he's probably got a tight knee or something. I don't know, some joint pain going on. And that will take up all of the blanket then.
Why don't they do like two blankets? Like,
well, you need a king size blanket on a queen size bed, I feel.
No, I tried that. It was with the itchy blanket that I had and it was horrible. It was too heavy. It went too far down the side. So yeah, I probably wouldn't recommend that. Well, anyway, you've got to share. Do you sleep with a flat sheet or without? I would really be interested to know.
All right. Having a bit of a laugh with the big tickles from the island. Where's our real breakfast?
Ted, I'd love a Pop-Tart.
Yes, Father Dougal likes his Pop-Tarts first thing in the morning.
I really don't think Pop-Tarts have any place in our Lord's plan for the world.
Moving on to the influencer rap, and Skye Wheatley has addressed those breakup rumours in a YouTube video entitled Family Mukbang, Are Lockie and I Together? Now, it was quite obvious watching the first, you know, 1 second that they were together because Lockie was in the video. But I've got to say, there was quite a bit of tension between the pair.
Well, because what actually led people to believe that they weren't together is that they were no longer following each other on Instagram.
That's a pretty big move to publicly unfollow each other. I mean, it's quite funny, Sophie, because I remember when I deleted you as a friend off Facebook, and this was probably like 5-6 years ago, and I really regret it now because, you know, when you get those things that are like, our Facebook anniversary and ours is like, you know, 5 years.
I also heard that she'd removed some photographs of him as well.
Jeez, that's big. Well, she did she didn't actually outright answer that question because it was fairly obvious that they were still together because they're eating pizza and McDonald's together. She did mention, though, that they had a big argument. So let me play a clip of what she said.
How do you think I deal with arguments?
I'm asking you.
I don't know, babe.
You don't know how you deal with arguments?
You tell them.
You go, fucking skits. That's how you deal with arguments. Absolutely skits. Like psycho, straitjacket stuff.
Okay, well, someone's lying to you. Don't you think they're going to go psycho?
Would you like to air the dirty laundry?
No,
honey, it's not just, it's not just that white, little white lie. That was not it at all.
A little white lie.
Horace, careful with the lights, little man.
Oh.
Wow. It's fairly obvious that they still haven't resolved that argument. There was another fan question that said, why do you share your arguments online? And I actually did like Skye's response. She said that she's kind of sick of these couples that pretend that they're perfect, and she's known of influencers who have seemed perfect on Instagram and then suddenly they break up. So she said she likes to be really realistic with her relationship online. I do think there's a few things that they could not divulge.
Well, I think that is a good thing. As you say, we constantly see these perfect relationships aired online when it's so clear that they are not perfect. So it is quite refreshing because all couples do fight. Yeah. I think it's abnormal if you don't fight with your partner.
And you could just tell he could not be bothered answering the questions.
I think we've also got to remember that Skye is heavily pregnant at the moment, so I'm sure her hormones are going all over the place and tensions are raised. They are also renovating a house whilst this is all going on, so I can definitely understand why arguments may be going on.
Oh yeah, they did point out that they argue more when she's pregnant. It was quite bizarre though, because so you know how Skye, like, she really does need to edit the videos. It went for 41 minutes and I was at the stage where I was having to fast forward because I really wanted to report back on what was said, but there was so much annoying stuff because Forrest was in it and he was just running amok. And
she needs an editor, I think, because she doesn't have much quality control of what's going on.
It was interesting though, because I didn't know whether Forrest would be eating the McDonald's, and not to mum shame or anything, but they were feeding him the red raspberry frozen Coke and it was the first time he'd ever had it. And then they literally go, oh, now it's time for bed, Forrest. I'm thinking he's going to be up all bloody night.
He was bouncing off the walls.
Yeah. Just lastly, I did find it really interesting what Skye had to say about her job, because someone sent in saying that they really respect how motivated and hardworking Skye and Lockie are. And then this is what Skye said.
Lockie doesn't think I work hard, but I do.
Oh my God, I've never said that.
I know you don't think I work hard. You think my job is... that it's not hard work.
I'm not gonna make a comment on that at all.
Well, I do the exact same thing as what you do. I do admin stuff. And then I'm also doing, like, physical stuff. Like, doing my makeup, making videos and doing hauls and stuff. Filming content constantly. Like, I have to constantly be refreshing everything.
So just for some context, Lockie's a tradie and he's been renovating Skye in his house as well as doing other jobs. So I found it quite amusing that Skye compared the manual labour of a tradie to putting makeup on.
Yeah, it's probably not a fair comparison. And it's just a little bit awkward to watch and see that. I mean, I'm sure, then again, you know, she is a full-time mum as well. That's a job in itself.
Yeah, well, exactly right. She did reveal, though, that she's getting a nanny soon. And the nanny apparently has been put on hold because she's still at school.
Oh, God. Well, I wonder if the nanny is following her on Instagram or not.
I don't know, but apparently the nanny's going to live with them. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, Lockie was like, you're going to hate her. And she's like, no, I'm not. She'll have her own wing in the house. So it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out.
She's going to live with them.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Moving on, and Chloe Zepp has announced that she and business partner Molly Jane are no longer working with the Bloom app. So this is the app that they founded themselves, and they were working alongside a company called Applantis who put the app together. So she wrote on Instagram that they're pleased to announce that Applantis has acquired their interests in the Bloom app. And she said that they started the journey with Applantis over a year ago, knowing that the app would help people, but not realizing how much of a big impact it would have. And they continued on to say, you know, that they're very excited that Applantis will be moving forward and, you know, trying to make it look like it's a very happy families and, you know, they're just moving on to other things.
Yeah, well, I found this quite a strange announcement because, as you said, Chloe and Molly Jane were very big on doing a bit of a PR tour about how they were the brains behind the app. And I'm not suggesting they weren't, but it's quite a strange thing to then relinquish the app. It kind of reminded me a little bit of the situation with Kick. a couple of years ago. So Kik launched their first program and it was on like a website, and then they moved on to create an app, but they had this big downtime and it seems like they had kind of a similar relationship with a web company like Chloe and Molly Jane have with this Atlantis. So it seems like potentially Chloe and Molly are breaking away to then kind of, I assume, create a new platform that they can take 100% of the revenue.
The new platform is called the Well Web, and that's really difficult to say, and I don't think it's half as catchy as the Bloom app.
It definitely isn't. It doesn't roll off the tongue. I do recall that Chloe has the lotus flower, which is the Bloom's app's icon, as a necklace. So it'll be interesting to see if she still wears that.
That's very true. So they have only shared one post on this page, and that was on the 23rd of March. And there's a little video that teases what's on there. So this new platform is going to have stuff about mindfulness, nutrition, parenting, self-love, movement, spirituality, education, and culture. And when you take a look, there is 110,000 followers already on this page. And that is because Chloe has changed over her previous Instagram account, which was Chloe Active, to this new Well Web page.
Yeah, so she still has her normal profile, like Chloe Zepp. However, back in the day, I remember all these influencers were having like a separate active account where they would post their workout. So that's essentially what she's done.
I've seen a few other influencers doing this week, where they're starting out separate accounts, which is clearly for their new businesses they're about to launch.
Well, I suppose it's clever. I mean, it is a bit cheeky though, because those people have decided to follow that page for a reason. I don't blame her though, because it is very difficult to get followers for a business page.
Well, to be honest, I don't have an issue with it. She cultivated that following through something of her own, so I don't have an issue with her switching it over at all.
It's funny though, because the new idea that they're promoting looks exactly the same as Bloom, except a few different things added.
I do wonder how people who have joined Bloom will feel, because Chloe did touch on the fact that, you know, she's really enjoyed being part of the Bloom community. So I'd be really pissed off if I'd signed up to this annual, I'd assume there'll be an annual fee with this app, and then suddenly they're no longer part of it.
Yeah.
And they've jumped onto this new app that then you've got to pay another subscription for. And it's funny, I saw Mitch right underneath the post. He said, "This is the platform the world needed. So proud of you both." And I kind of think, well, haven't they supposedly put their all into the other Bloom app?
Yeah, it's very strange. I mean,
it's clearly a monetary decision there.
Oh,
I mean,
definitely.
Respect that, because you've got to do what's best for you at the end of the day.
Well, on a sadder note, and still on the topic of the Zepp Orville family, Angry Dad, whose actual name is Mark Orville, he shared a very scary post on Instagram on Thursday. He announced that he's being diagnosed with an aggressive form of prostate cancer, and my heart dropped when I saw this post.
It was terrible, because it was on the morning of April Fool's Day, and I would hate to ever think that this had been a joke, but Amy and I were half just hoping that this wasn't true.
Yeah, because maybe, I mean, maybe a way to like get awareness out
there. Yeah, that's what I originally thought it was. Sadly, obviously, that is not the case. He wrote, "He could not be fake, as his life motto is all about honesty." He said, "Right now, when someone asks me how I'm going, I'm not going to say I'm fine, because I'm not. Several weeks ago, I got the call you regret from your GP, concerned over blood test results to do with your prostate. Sadly, the events have unfolded since have confirmed I have an aggressive prostate cancer. I regrettably missed my annual test last year due to COVID, and whilst that doesn't matter and can't change things, it highlights the importance of regular tests. This isn't about sympathy, rather it's about highlighting the reality of life, as I'm not the first and I won't be the last to face a life challenge," he said. "Believe me, I will hit this harder than I have ever hit anything in my life." And I just found this so heartbreaking, because he is someone I have watched for a number of years now, and he's always such a larger-than-life, comical guy. So it is really hard to hear him talking about this and being diagnosed with something that is so aggressive. I do think it is really brave to be publicly speaking about this, and something that does need to be publicly spoken about, because it is something that so many men put off and put to the back of their mind, particularly with COVID. So many of these cancers or diseases haven't been picked up. So it's more important than ever before than people would go to the doctor and get checked out.
Yeah, I just praise him for the awareness that he is managing to spread with this message. And it comes at a time where he's obviously very vulnerable, but he's thinking of other people, which I think is so fantastic. And I think this should just be a reminder for anyone that's been putting off any sort of regular health check to go get it done, because it's just not worth it.
I mean, I'm locked in this week for my pap smear.
Very good.
Or cervical screening, sorry.
Yeah, exactly
and
right.
And I'm absolutely dreading it. But at the end of the day, you've just got to get these things done.
The thing with the prostate cancer thing is it's now just a blood test, which is excellent. It's easy they to are do. Lucky. And we send our best wishes to Mark Orville, and we're thinking of him and his family at this difficult time.
What is Chandler Bing's job?
Ten
seconds, you need this or you lose the game.
It has something to do with transponding. Oh, he's a transponster! That's not even a word!
Let's get into snog, marry, and avoid. And thank you to our listener, Kelly, for sending this amazing one in. So, Sophie, who would you choose between Ross Geller, Chandler Bing, and Joey Tribbiani?
I find this one really difficult because I literally love all three of them. I'm a huge Friends fan. And it's also funny because I feel like in your friendship groups, you always pick who is which character. Mm. And I have to say, I know this isn't part of the question, but you are Monica.
Oh, yeah. I definitely am Monica. So if I think you are Rachel and Amy is definitely Phoebe.
Yeah, I have to say, Amy does fit Phoebe quite well because she's always a bit quirky and funny.
And it's funny because we sort of played the same game with our boyfriends and we're trying to work out who was who. And Sophie's boyfriend, Brandon, we think is Chandler.
He's definitely Chandler. He's out of funny. And
yeah. And then Dale is literally Ross.
He looks like Ross.
Yeah.
His personality is Ross.
There are some differences. I do have a soft spot for Ross. He is my favorite character. So I've got to say there are differences.
Okay.
Yeah.
And well, by default, your boyfriend is Joey, but he doesn't quite fit into the typical Joey. He's not an actor.
No. He's actually very hardworking and smart. But
why do you keep ragging on Joey? It's not that Joey isn't hardworking. He hasn't got his break.
I don't know about that. Anyway, so who would you pick, Sophie?
Oh, it's so hard. Oh. I think because I am a Rachel, I am going to have to pick to marry Ross because I just think he's so lovable. Like, he's just so
awkward.
Sweet.
It's just awkward that we've kind of said who's who out of our boyfriends, but I don't feel I want to look at the characters as they are, not who we've kind of typecast.
Oh, see, now I'm so torn because I do love Chandler as well, and he is just so sweet with Monica.
That's the thing. Chandler's actually so lovable and nice, whereas Ross is kind of a little bit chaotic and he's kind of not that smooth either.
That's the thing. Like, I don't know if I'd want to marry someone who had already had like three marriages. And
yeah, and his pace complex as well.
Oh, the pace pants. Also, I find his job quite boring. But then again, with Chandler being, you know, no one knows what his job is because it's so boring. At least Ross is passionate about something.
What about Joey? No one's really said Joey.
I mean, Joey was always the hot character, wasn't he?
Yeah. I find it so amazing that the whole series, he was dyeing his hair. Because he actually went prematurely grey. Like Matt
that
LeBlanc.
Is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Joey's very cute, but I think he is someone that you probably just hook up with.
Yeah. I've got to say, again, Ross is my favourite. So I was leaning towards Ross. But now I've got a bit of a soft spot for Chandler because, as you said, I am Monica. So I'm going to say marry Chandler because I think Ross is too complicated. And then I think I would have to... Oh, this is hard because now I'm going to say I would...
I don't want to avoid any of them.
Yeah, because I love all of them. I'd probably snog Joey over Ross though.
Yeah.
And then avoid Ross. But I, do you know what? It makes me feel better because I feel like Ross and... I was going to say Jennifer Aniston. I feel like Ross and Rachel belong together. I do. No, but now I'm like, should I marry Ross because he picks on people's grammatical errors and I feel like I would get along with him because I do that as well.
Because I am a Rachel, I'm going to have to pick Ross.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we would be quite a pairing even though my boyfriend isn't Ross. And I'm going to have to snog Joey because I'm more attracted to Joey and avoid Chandler, as hard as that is. I do love Chandler.
Yeah. That was a really hard one. That made you think.
I'd love to hear what everyone else thinks. Who would you guys pick?
Yeah.
You snobs! You stupid snugger, toffee-nosed, half-witted, upper-class piles of pots!
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. I'm so excited. It's the long weekend, Good Friday. I'm actually going to go off and be making some hot cross buns from scratch.
Fuck, you've just reminded me. I don't actually have a present for Brandon yet. You know how we said we were going to do the $50 presents?
Oh. Well, I'm going to go to the shops on Saturday because I know Bed and Bath have a 50% off all their Easter stuff and I want to get some things.
Can I just also say, we thought, okay, this Easter, we don't want to give a ridiculous amount of chocolate. Let's buy a few nice, high-quality items. Went into Haig's. Not slamming Haig's at all, because they do some beautiful stuff, but my God, it's expensive in there.
Oh, I know. I felt very adult. Like, yeah, let's just pick up a couple of things. Like, I love the freckles from there. And I couldn't believe it. I hope everyone appreciates what they got, because it's bloody expensive.
$50 for an egg. Like, I didn't pay for the egg, but...
How big was the egg?
Oh, I mean, it was a larger size egg, but I'm going to put it out there. I think Cadbury's is just as good.
Yeah, but I just wanted the small amount. So I love the freckles and the Freddo frogs. So I think I've got a packet of those coming my way, and I'm very excited.
We hope you all have a wonderful Easter and the Easter Bunny finds you.
We will be back in your ears on Easter Monday. Don't worry, we are not taking a break. So we will talk to you then.